Hey, Janine.
Glasses are on. I'm ready.
Glasses are on. How are you?
I am great. Welcome back to the show, as they say.
Welcome back from Vegas. How was Vegas?
Do you see this? I still have balloons up. Oh, here they come. Of course, right?
Oh, no. There you go.
There they go.
The show business, right?
I tell you. Man, oh man, I got to tell you, Bill, just back from Vegas, the largest real estate convention the planet has ever seen. It was in Las Vegas. Keller Williams hosts this event. 15,000 plus agents from all over the world attend this thing. So flew in last night, United Airlines. Thanks so much for getting us home. And some of our friends were on Southwest Airlines, which was really fun. Got in at 11 o'clock last night, and we beat the tornadoes here in Chicago, so that was nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank God you didn't have to fly through that stuff. That'd be pretty spooky.
I tell you, it was you guys really had a whirlwind of activity. We did too, though, in Vegas. But our activity, just imagine this, Bill. Imagine flying into Vegas. Which, by the way, I haven't been to Vegas since I was 21.
Oh, wow.
So it was...
2 years ago?
Yeah, right. 21 years ago. Sure.
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. There you go. 2 years ago. I was honestly, I was totally impressed. I thought the city did a great job. We were there 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. So yeah. The Luxor, by the way, the Luxor had one side of it that was the Dorito. They had a whole Dorito ad, so it was like a big Dorito, which was pretty smart because the Luxor is like a diamond.
Right.
But I, you know, that city, it does not, it's just not quiet.
No.
It is on fire.
Never sleeps. Never sleeps.
Never sleeps. But it was pretty cool.
I always have to go if I go there, only 2 or 3 days because it feels like a week if you've been there for 2 or 3 days.
I mean, honestly, I felt like, yeah, I left on a Saturday, came back yesterday, met with the best of the best in the industry. So I thought I'd share with you something that was kind of cool. So Gary Keller, you know, he's the forward thought leader in this industry. Here's how he opened up in a CEO mastermind. And I thought I'd share it with you, Bill. Okay. He said, when we were talking about the life force and through the life force, here's some good key tips from this guy. He said, master a few things and life is big. Try to master everything and your life is small. Follow a hard plan and your life is easy. If you follow an easy plan in life, your life is hard. If you focus on what matters, you'll have very few regrets. But if you focus on what doesn't matter, you'll be full of regrets and lead a full life and your life will be fulfilling. So here we go into a real estate, you know, this is the beauty of KW. We go into a real estate, this is all for the CEOs that run businesses. And we go in early and we meet with Gary in a very intimate setting. He brings in authors of books. He brings in everything from how to run businesses to, you know, your health and your wealth and your mindset, all of it. So he actually starts out the conversation with that. And that's just a true testament to like anyone who wants to get better in business. It's going to start from within at the end of the day. And you and I have talked about that multiple times, but, what a great, great, great experience. You know, our group here at E2P outside of Chicago, we brought roughly about 80, 85 of our agents with us this time. It was cool.
I was looking at the pictures and video and I could not, from people that are posting, and I could not believe the amount of people that you all had. And even that Tony Robbins and seeing all the TVs, how many TVs do they have that people could watch him up close and personal?
You know what's fascinating about that? I'm always impressed by the way that KW does their, it's such a class act, sure, the presentation. You know, to be honest with you, there must have been 50 screens in one big area, but the experience, it's like going to a concert.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. But here's the thing. It's not about the hype. That's the beautiful thing. Never it's about the hype. There's over 200 breakout sessions. And where I went was the wealth side. I went all into the wealth masterminding, how to put velocity on your money with it, entrepreneurs that are leveraging. Then there was marketing. There was social media. I mean, you name it. Everything on listings and buyers and working with the consumers. It was brilliant. Mel Robbins was unbelievable. Tony, of course, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was cool.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you made it back. I missed you.
Yes.
And, now we're back. Now we're back to the grind again, huh?
We are. We're ready. And I got a question for you before I bring Anna in, which I am so psyched about talking with Anna today. Tell me about the financial market. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you feeling?
There is a little bit of back and forth this year. And I kind of said this last week as well. With elections, you're just going to see a lot of volatility this year. So that's what we're seeing. People kind of get pushed back when rates go a little higher than expected. But that's opportunity. And I think that that's where people need to really focus in. An opportunity right now is when, you know, maybe not the best thing happens with regards to interest rates. So when you're looking at interest rates moving up on us, that could be an opportunity for somebody to get maybe, you know, a little lower than list price, you know? So I think, and we'll talk about that. Sounds like we're going to talk about multiple offers and so forth, but it's just one of those things where it's an opportunity right now. The market's been hot at the very beginning of the year. And I think now when you see rates kind of move up a little bit, that could be something that people can take advantage of. I know it sounds kind of cliche with regards to you should be buying because everybody's saying that, but we've seen it 2 years ago when rates were lower, how many people were overpaying for properties. And it's just not to that degree right now. And I think that's an opportunity for anybody.
For sure. And I'll tell you, I'm fresh off of this convention. And I'll tell you, 82% of most consumers in the world believe that real estate is a good investment. So knowing that, we sell a great product. The other thing that I learned when doing a lot of studies this past couple of weeks is the interest rates are not the conversation. Mm-hmm. That is, by history, you can see that the interest rates they've gone up, they've gone down. I mean, go back into the 70s and the 80s when people were really, you know, their money, it cost a lot of money. It was that, you know, 15 to 18% interest rate. People were still buying real estate.
Sure.
And so it's a safe asset to be involved with. It's a great asset to be involved with. And, you know, at the end of the day, Gary did say something about the industry was that in 2021 to 2022, we were drunk as real estate on success. And here we are in the hangover part of this, because of the fact that there is just, you know, there's a slowdown and there's a tightness inside of it.
Yeah.
But you know who I thought would be a good person to bring into this conversation is Anna Mose. She is somebody that we work with here in our Glen Ellen Market Center. She is an agent leadership council member for several years with us. This girl has got it going on. She is so passionate about what she does and how she serves that client. Can we get Anna in here? I would love everybody to meet her and let's have a good conversation with her. Let's get down to business.
Give you one more. Anna, I threw a horn in there for you, Anna.
I love it.
We got her in the house.
Yeah.
Anna. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I love the horn. My son loves that sound. He's a big basketball fan. And yeah.
Cool. All right, Anna Mose, we are so thrilled to have you in the house today. Bill and I have been talking about you for a while, and we want to ask you who you are. Like, let's just go through. This is what we do. We have conversations. We want to bring you into the conversation today. First and foremost, who is Anna?
Okay, so I am first and foremost a mom. I have a 15-year-old, a freshman son. And my daughter is 11. She's in sixth grade. So I know everybody's so jealous. I have a teen and a tween. I will go back to toddler years and infants and all of that any day over this. Like, you know, they have the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, the toddler years. There's nothing about this age and how tumultuous it really is. But anyway, I am a wife. My husband just retired from 20 years as a police officer in Mount Prospect. So wow. That was quite a journey as a girlfriend to wife to mom with him for 18 years. But he's loving his new job at Glenbard South, where my son is a freshman. So that's, I got two boys in high school, two kids. And then I'm a daughter as well. I'm lucky that my parents are still alive. My dad's kind of my mentor. And I'm a sister. I have a sister, just had a birthday. And I am a entrepreneur. I'm a small business owner, and I love being a realtor.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sad I missed a family reunion. I have not been to Vegas since I was 26. And I don't remember a lot of it, but it was fun. But I'm sad. I had total FOMO watching all the videos and stuff, but I had some stuff going on with my mom and dad that I had to be here for. So.
No, we get it. You know, obviously family first at the end of the day. And by the way, we're going back there next year. So yeah. They booked the same location. So we'll be back at it. So Anna, where are you from? Where'd you grow up, and where do you live now?
So I grew up in Villa Park. My parents moved from the city when I was three. So I lived in Villa Park, and then I moved to Lombard. I moved to Lombard. I've been here 22 years. I love Lombard. It's kind of an offshoot of Villa Park, if you will. So I love where I grew up. I went to Willowbrook High School. There were no cliques or anything like that. Everyone was just kind of friendly. I hung out. My best friend was like captain of the cheerleading squad, you know, or the cheer team. But then all of my other friends, you know, some of them were in sports, some of them were into theater. We all kind of like hung out. And then that's what I love about Lombard too. I love my subdivision. I'm in Butterfield East, which I always wanted to be in Lombard by the pool, like north or, you know, central Lombard. And then we ended up here. And I made a really good group of mom friends here. And then my daughter is pretty active with the Lombard Park District. So I have a total like mom tribe from the Park District and dance and all of that good stuff. So yeah, I love it. Everyone's just down to earth. There's no egos here. You can just, you know, come to pick up with your hair in a ponytail, no makeup, and no one cares.
Oh, doesn't that feel good, honestly?
It does. And I love that my kids and their friends are kind of the same way.
Yes.
They're, you know, my daughter's in sixth grade, but she kind of hangs out with everybody. There's not a whole lot of mean kids or anything like that. So it's a pretty neat, that's why I love it here. You know, I know what I could get for my house. I know where I could probably move and go somewhere in a big home in a different suburb, but I won't leave here. I just won't. I love it.
That's it. You're a Chicago girl. You're right outside of Chicago. And it's, I know, you know, people always talk about our winters and they talk about how it's so harsh and it's hard. I think we skated through this week, this year.
Oh, yeah. We did in the last couple of years too, I think. I mean, I can't imagine living. I mean, I'd like to live somewhere warmer, but I don't know. I used to hang out in the city a lot when I was in my 20s and stuff. And it's a beautiful city. It really is.
And we have so much around here too. Like that's the other thing is that you've got that suburban living side, but then you can hop on the train and you can be down in the city with the best restaurants, some of the best entertainment right on the lake. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful for sure. Yeah.
My son did a eighth grade boat ride on the Spirit of Chicago last year.
Oh, yeah.
It was a beautiful May day. And my friend and I were saying, gosh, the city really is beautiful, you know, and we were on the lake, on the boat, and it was just, and it only took us like 20 minutes to drive down there. We docked off Navy Pier. So it was really cool. My husband does a triathlon down there every year, so the kids, we enjoy it. See, nice. And then even in the suburbs, we have a lot of good restaurants here. Downtown Lombard's really up and coming, and yeah.
Oh, for sure. Lombard has taken off. Bill and I, we were talking about, wasn't it Rebel that we were talking about the other day that we were like, we love that restaurant. And there is so many new things. Gnarly Knots came into town over at Lombard. So tell us a little bit about Butterfield East. That is your corridor. Like, you love that subdivision. Tell us about your subdivision.
Okay, so we have about 775 houses. Funny enough, when I was growing up, like, I always thought this was kind of like the cool, wealthy part of Lombard. Because all of my friends were from Villa Park and the parts of Lombard they were from, like Butterfield East, it was like almost like Beverly Hills. Like, if you knew someone who lived here,
yeah.
Like, ooh. But anyway, there are a lot of split levels, a lot of ranches. I just like the community. Like, the other day when it was really warm out, I just thought it was so cool how many people were out walking the dog and kids running around playing. And there's a park right down the street. We have two parks. So there's the school park, there's Hoffman Park, Kensington Park. It's just great. Like, my kids, you know, they ride their bikes, they go to the school, they play basketball, they do stuff with their friends. No one really knows about us. We're like right off of Butterfield and 53 or 22nd. But I'm still like, you know, 5 minutes from Lombard Park District, from the pool. We're unincorporated, but we have sidewalks, which is really cool. We're not well in septic like most unincorporated areas. Sure. Our taxes aren't as bad. We do have our own pool. We have Butterfield Pool. We have the Western Acres Golf Course right down the street. And what's really nice is, you know, I have clients that just moved here and they love it because they can get to the Downers Grove train station in like 10 minutes, which is actually, they're actually closer to Downers Grove than Glen Ellen train station or Lombard. But I mean, I can just go 5 minutes down 53 and I'm in Wheaton. I can get to downtown Lombard. I can get to downtown Glen Ellen. I can get on, you know, take the highway right into the city. So it's a pretty cool location.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts about being in that area is that you do have access to everything within minutes. You know, I used to live in Lombard when I first moved out here from Michigan, and then I had a place in Elmhurst. I just thought it was such a like a quick access to everything: airport, city, further west in the suburbs, and all the great spots. So,
yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we came home late last night and off this flight, and I was dropping off one of our other agents in Glen Ellen. I live all the way in Sycamore. So for us, I mean, it's like it feels like you're going to Iowa, you know, at night. That's the beauty of where you are, though, is centrally located close to the city, right in DuPage County. So let me fast forward a little bit in this conversation. Because now I know who you are. I know what you're servicing. But tell me, out of curiosity, why real estate? You know, this is the conversation that I'm having with everyone on this podcast is you're a CEO of your brand and what you do for a living. And you could do that in a lot of different industries. But why did you choose real estate? What about it brought you in?
When I was in my 20s and stuff, I worked as an accountant. You know, I did the public sector and the private. I worked for an ad agency, and then I worked for the Township of Addison. I like the HR aspect, you know, because I was always talking to people, but accounting is very, you know, secluded. You sit, you look at numbers all day. My company got bought out when I was pregnant with my son. So I stayed home for 10 years. And then I knew I didn't want to go back into accounting. I really didn't want to do the 9-to-5 grind. I had, you know, my son was 8, my daughter was in kindergarten. So I had some bad real estate experiences, really bad. And I thought, I do not want this, my mom and dad or my in-laws who are seniors to go through this. Like, I don't want to go through this, right? Like, if we sell this house, I'm not doing. So I'm like, I'm going to try real estate. And my dad's like, great. You know, your uncle was a realtor and he did really good. And my dad was in sales, and my husband just looked at me. He's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And so yeah, I was always intrigued. I was always into the HGTV and watching all the shows and all that kind of stuff. I thought it would be really neat. As a little kid, I used to love to like go in people's houses and, you know, see like, well, can you give me a tour? Like, where's this? Where's it? Like, I always wanted to see stuff. So then I went to real estate school. I passed the test, met some really good friends actually in real estate school that it's kind of neat now, like being in the field and seeing, you know, some of them. And then funny enough, I went through a couple brokerages. I did well at one, got recruited by another, stayed there, and then ended up at KW and here almost, is it 3 years, right?
3 years.
Yeah, it's like, wow. I was just telling another realtor, I'm doing a deal with another KW Infinity agent, and I was just telling him that, you know, my business doubled when I came here. It's just a whole amazing place to be, and I'm grateful that I met Janine. I'm grateful for my colleagues. I was in a multiple offer this weekend. I think I got it because I was KW and he was KW and he's like, I know, I told my seller, you know, this girl's KW and, you know, I love working with her agents. So I'm happy.
What's the difference? Like you said, your business doubled. What would you name the being the difference of the place that you're at now versus where you were? Maybe not where you were, but just what's the difference that you're noticing?
Oh, the camaraderie, the people, the leadership. You know, at other brokerages, they didn't even, you know, really know who I was, care. You know, you have your top agents that I would like look up to, and they didn't even, you know, wouldn't even condescend to talk to me. We're here. I have actually gotten really good advice from several of our agents and used it to my advantage and won multiple offers and, you know, was able to keep deals together that might not have been, you know, that might have gone south had I not gotten advice from these folks. So I just feel grateful.
It makes a difference. The culture is a big deal. And yeah. I always say this when people are looking at companies to go to, there's two parts. One is the platform and the other is the culture. And I think culture is the most important.
Isn't that true? Like Gary talks about it all the time. And Anna, we've talked about this too. I mean, nobody succeeds alone. And, you know, being an entrepreneur and especially in this real estate industry, you know, it's such a transparent industry that I don't know that our consumers know how much work goes on to actually make this transaction happen for them. Because it looks like it's just, hey, we wrote a contract and the next thing you know, we just need an inspection. And the next thing you know, we're going to get some lending done. And by the way, you're moving in. But behind the scenes, the amount of, as a matter of fact, I think we did a study on this, 192 different pieces of opportunities of negotiations and moving things and coordination happens before somebody, when you start a relationship with somebody and by the time you move them into a house.
Right.
And the amount of work, that's why I do laugh, Bill, you know, watch what Anna said. She's like, I came into it and, you know, I knew there was flexibility and I just like, you know, I'm curious about the house and I look around and I'm like, I can do this. And then she watched an agent that she didn't have a great experience with. So Anna, now that you're in this, is it that, or, I mean, at the end of the day, I came in with this exact same idea, two little girls at the time. And I was like, it's flexible and you'll make a lot of money. And I love HGTV and I love decorating. Now I fast forward to, holy smokes, 21 years in this industry. This is a tough business. This is not for the faint. You know, this is not for just anyone to do this. This is a very, very, very tough business. It's a very complicated industry. And at the same time, it's incredibly invigorating though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's rough. I mean, I have days, this week's been a little crazy. But I think it was funny. I was putting together a listing presentation and I was going through kind of updating things and I was going through all the houses I've sold and my reviews. And I was kind of playing around with the software, whatever you call it, doing this. I was looking at some of my reviews and I was like, oh, that's really neat. Like, oh, I love those people. And You know, I'm friends with a lot of my clients now. They came to Oktoberfest the last couple of years and they're like, we love this. This is so great. You know, we love this Oktoberfest. And, you know, it's cool that, you know, the brokerage actually organizes this whole thing, right? We have like agents in our office that are busy agents, but they organize this whole thing. And we get to interact with our clients and the client, my clients love it. I think I had 12 show up this year and they thought it was super cool. My husband came and he got to meet some of my clients. And so now it's like, you know, some of them are friends actually.
Yeah.
They become friends and some neighbors. I think three of my buyers moved into our neighborhood. So it's kind of neat when you see them, you know, taking a walk and it's like, oh, hey, you know, it's kind of cool. True.
That is good. Yeah. By the way, you guys throw an amazing Oktoberfest. I love it.
We do have a good time. We're going to do it differently. Yeah, this year is going to be different for us. We're going to miss our Park Boulevard, backyard that overlooks this beautiful pond back here. But we are, we'll be doing it in a different location this year since we're moving, which will be cool. We'll see how it rolls.
Yeah.
All right, Anna, help Bill and I. And Bill, you might be able to help us out on this too. Pro tip time. So in this pro tip time, I'm curious for someone like you that is literally living, eating, and breathing in the field every single day of this industry right outside of Chicago. What advice, whether I'm a seller, whether I'm a buyer, whether I'm an investor, what would you tell me? Some good pro tip conversations on that I need to think about in this industry. If we're sitting on leap year, today's February 29th, 2024, what would you tell me if I'm coming into the real estate market?
I've been dealing with multiple offers now for the last 3 weeks working with buyers. I did just win a multiple offer. Like I said, it was with the KW agent. I sat down with them, with all my buyers. We had a buyer's consultation and I asked them questions and I said, are you up for this? Because it might be rough. You know, you might be in a multiple offer. Where's your comfort level? I explained what an appraisal addendum is. I explained what an escalation clause is. They were FHA. I said, can you talk to a different lender? Maybe they can get you conventional, which they did. I think it's a lot of it is kind of explaining to your buyers if they're prepared for this, because they might not get the first house. And then we have to sit down and figure out, okay, well now what can we do next time?
Yeah.
But it's all about finding your comfort level, where you're willing to, how much money you're willing to spend. I think you have to get creative, which we did, with writing these contracts. There's a lot of ways as agents that we could, make the offer more attractive, but you have to make sure your clients are comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. As far as sellers, I think sitting down with them, I've gone on, I don't even know how many listing appointments since January. A lot of them are in the predicament where, well, I'd love to sell and I know I could make some money, but I need to find somewhere to go. So then you have to kind of sit and have that conversation. Well, what's your plan? What's your time frame? When do you want to be in a new place? And then it's all about showing them the stats too and showing them, you know, yeah, actually if you sell now, you know, you might, you know, now we're starting to see more inventory creep up, but I think selling, you know, listing in February, March is actually pretty smart because the market hasn't hit yet. So, they have taken my advice. I have them on the PLN right now while they're getting their house ready, but, I feel that if you wait till June, a lot of times, or I tell my sellers, why, you know, don't wait until May or June, because I think in my experience doing open houses as much as I do, you don't get as many people coming through because people are on vacation. People have kids in baseball, softball. There's all kind of stuff going on. And then everyone is rushing to get, you know, moved in by August, right? So that their kids are back in school. So I always tell people, get ahead of the game, get on the market February, March. There's no inventory. You're going to get multiple offers, and they have.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my pro tip to sellers, and then to buyers. I think it's just being educated. I think, you know, I do, you know, I always have attorneys that I like to work with, vendors I like to work with that I know will get the deals done, that will give them good advice. I think it's all about having a good team too. So,
it's true.
And it's a rough market right now, at least for my buyers. It's really rough. I'm showing a house that's new today that the agent said, I've already gotten so many calls on this. It's definitely going to be multiple offers. So I'm preparing my clients for it.
Do you feel like in a market like this, when it's so tight, or there is a perception that it is really tight like this, does a seller still show up and put their best foot forward with the house is freshly painted, or there's staging involved, you've decluttered? Is that important if you're the only shiny object on the market? Is the buyer still valuing that this looks good on the market?
Yes. I mean, the buyers they still want the shiny object. Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, it's all about expectation too. You know, I tell them, you know, I took this from Pete's actually on this call, and I've been using it. You know, in a regular market, maybe you get 5 out of 10 things on your wish list. In this market, you'll maybe get 8 out of 10. Right. And I tell people, I don't want to be harsh or sound rude or nasty, but it's the reality we're in right now. And some of the houses I am noticing, they're not. Again, I work in a different price point. I usually go up to like 550, 600. I'm kind of in that 400, 500 range. But I tell people, you know, you might not get everything you want, white kitchen and all of that. I'm noticing a lot of the sellers, the buyers, houses I'm going to, they're not completely updated. They're painted and stuff, but they're not updated.
Sure.
And then the sellers, you know, I always tell them, you know, a fresh coat of paint will help, flooring. A lot of them are like, well, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to put in new floors because someone's just going to come in and do what they want to do.
Yeah,
but I do think staging is important. I think the house, I do give them a list of stuff to do before pictures, decluttering, and, you know, making less is more, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a good agent that coaches their client through, you know, how to present yourself no matter what the market is. I think that's really important. I was an REO agent for a long time. And even though it was a distressed property, whether it was a short sale or an REO, I could care less. We still had towels that were hanging in the bathroom. And some of those bank-owned properties aren't the best. But at the same time, when you can fresh them up and clean them up, it's worth it.
Yeah, I've had like cleaning companies come out. I've hired, you know, a cleaning company and said, you know, I think we're going to get a cleaner to come in, make it look really pretty. And they're like, oh, you're paying for that? Yeah. You know, or even like window washers, I'll just do whatever. And then I have really good photographers that I use too that, you know how to make the pictures look really nice. So like, it's funny, a lot of people, I think this job, especially like my friends and family, think it's like selling Sunset, which I do. It's a guilty pleasure. I love the show.
Totally.
But it's not like when I'm sitting there, like it was like freezing cold and you're putting those signs in for open houses. I'm like, gosh, this is not glamorous. And people are driving by the intersection and my friends are waving and laughing at me. It's like, yeah, okay.
That's hilarious.
You're going in some of these houses and they're not, you know, they're not the cleanest or whatever, you know, and it's, it's not glamorous at all. I don't think, you know,
it's the real grit of an agent. I also appreciate the fact that you said that you're pumping the brakes with your clients on both sides and actually educating them. I think there's so many people that are missing out on that piece of it. Because there's a way to win an offer in today's market. And I think I was sponsoring an event a few weeks back, and one of the agents basically said there's two things that listing agents look at. They look at who's on the deal. So they go to page 13, see who's on the deal. And then the second part is, what are the terms of that? And I think that's part of the consultation is, one, like you said, to help the client feel comfortable. But then the other piece is how to huddle up and actually win and put a strategy together to win that offer. And I think that that's huge that you're doing that.
Yeah, it's funny. I have to say this. My client, I screenshotted some stuff to her. I just did was at their inspection. And she's like, oh my gosh, that was so great what that agent said. So he said to me, if I decide to ever hang up my hat in real estate, he's like, I am having you as my buyer's agent based solely on the tenacity and your motivation to get this deal done. And then I was like, that was really sweet.
Oh,
I'm like, thank
awesome.
You. And then he said, he goes, my seller was like, I just love this girl's tenacity. She's just going after it. I was like, well, My clients really love the house, you know, and I call the agent right away and I say, you know, what are your clients looking for? What can I do to win this offer? Aside from price, obviously, and closing date, all that, you know, but aside from the price, what else can I offer you? Then I have lenders that will call right away, mm-hmm. you know, to call these people to say these people are, you know, I ran everything through, they're pre-approved. All we need is the title and the appraisal. And as a listing agent, I love that when a lender calls mm-hmm. and talks to me. I also love when an agent will reach out and send me a text or they call and say, hey, I know you got multiple offers, but I just wanted to call and introduce myself. I think that goes a long way in this industry. I really do. Yeah. Knowing that the person on the other side is a good agent, they're going to get the job done. I think that's key. Same with the lenders, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And even the attorneys.
We talked about that.
Yeah. You're in that generation too. Not to separate generations or anything or call one worse than the other, but where we used to pick up the phone. You know, right. Like when I first got in the business, I remember we were talking about how many back and forth we have with regards to communication. When I first got in the business, a guy named Joe Stump was a real estate agent and he was also an officer at the time. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he said at the time, this is before texting and all the emails and the smartphones. He goes, there's over 200 phone calls that are made between the start and the finish of a transaction. Everybody gasps. Now think about it. You got texting, you got emailing, you got calls, but so many times people miss that the verbal piece, like the communication there with just picking up the phone to understand the tonality of that relationship. Like you said, you had that relationship with the listing agent that actually, you know, commended you for your tenacity. That's huge because they'll remember you.
You're so right, Bill. And here's the thing that I think most agents miss, to be honest with you, is that the consumer doesn't really know necessarily your reputation inside the industry of how your colleagues think of you from other transactions. And we can have client testimonies. Like for Anna here at our Keller Williams, we've gotten letters. Do you remember this, Anna? We will get letters from your clients that will come into our managing broker, Cindy, that will be like, we had the greatest experience. This is amazing. I would even say that the agent that can show up to the consumer's table. And by the way, if I was a consumer and I'm selling my house, I would actually ask for this. Tell me, do you have any testimonies or any kind of references of other transactions that you've done with other agents? And what did they feel? What did it go? What was it like? You know, was it a smooth transaction? And did you have a pleasurable experience? Because that part matters a lot in our industry. Because just what you said, Bill, you look to the back of that contract and you're like, oh, I'm going to be working with this person. Or yes, this is going to go great because we know that this person is in it all the way for their client. And it's a great piece inside of our industry. If our agents attach that part into their world, not only the client the testimony, but also my colleagues' testimonies, bring that out in the light because it's so incredibly important.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, Anna, I would love to do something fun with you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Bill just likes having his music on.
I love my music. I love it.
I like it too.
It's like the segue to the fun part. Okay, ready? Here we go. Okay. Bill, we're going to need a little music for this one. This is called the speed round, Anna. And we just like doing the speed round to just kind of change up the vibe a little bit. But then everybody gets to know you a little bit better because these are the things that we want to know.
Right.
So I'm going to say two words and you just choose whatever comes to mind first, whichever one you like. So you ready?
Yep.
Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts?
Starbucks.
Ooh.
Coffee. I know. What?
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say burgers or hot dogs?
Burgers.
Baseball or football?
Baseball.
Ooh, what team? Sox or Cubs?
I'm not saying.
It could be fighting words, couldn't it?
I don't want to be, this to be used against me when I go to a client's house.
This is recorded. Don't worry.
I like both.
I'm a Cub at heart.
I'll root for every Chicago team.
Right? Exactly. This is the safest way to say it.
It's good for the city. It's good for business. Whoever wins the World Series, it's good for business.
That's so true. If you could go on vacation, would you choose mountains or ocean?
Ocean.
Ooh, nice. If you could go on vacation, free trip, all expense paid trip, Vegas or New York?
Vegas.
Ooh, okay. Last but not least, chocolate cake, vanilla cake?
Chocolate.
High heels or Birkenstocks? We're in the Barbie movie.
Oh, high heels.
Taylor Swift or Madonna?
Taylor. I grew up on Madonna. I feel bad. I loved her as a kid, but she's just gotten a little strange.
And this
my daughter is really into Taylor Swift, so.
I know, I'm with you. Now, because you're my 80s friend, because we grew up in the 80s, Def Leppard or Styx?
Def Leppard.
Okay.
It's hard.
Okay, I can't think. Bruce Springsteen or, oh my gosh, I totally lost my train of thought. Bruce Henley.
Don Henley, you mean?
Yeah, Don Henley. There you go.
Don Henley from the Eagles. Don Henley, for sure.
It's Bruce Henley's brother.
That's right.
Yeah. Don Henley from the Eagles. Yeah, I saw him in concert. Like, I mean, at Alpine Valley back in the day when we were young and crazy. Yeah.
Love it.
Fun times. The 80s were fun. I tell my kids all the time, you don't know what you're missing. The 90s were even better.
No, I think so too. I think the 80s, like, the more I appreciate them, the older I get.
Me too. But I love the 80s. I feel like I'm stuck in the 80s. I miss George Michael and Prince and Madonna.
Yeah. Now my kids are like, oh, you saw Michael Jackson? Or, oh, wow. You know, my daughter was like singing a song the other day and I'm like, oh, I used to love that song. She's like, yeah, 1994, summer of 94. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
Hey, wow. Anna, If our agents of Keller Williams around the country, if our sellers and buyers and investors in the DuPage County area right outside of Chicagoland in Illinois, where do we find you? How do we contact you?
So you could Google me, Anna Marie Mose, and then there's my Google page, my Google business page. Anna Pinataro Mose is my Facebook, and Move with Mose is my Instagram. And also, I'm also on LinkedIn, Anna
Pinataro Mose. Okay, so at Move with Mose is another good handle for you.
That's my Instagram,
Awesome. All right, so if you are looking for a great agent to work with you in the real estate industry, if you are looking for advice, conversation, consultation, Anna is the one to have a conversation with. Anna, it is an absolute honor and blessing to be in business with you.
Oh, you're so
thank
sweet.
You so much for being with us.
Thank
you. And happy leap year day.
Yeah. Off to show a house now.
There you go.
All right. Go knock them dead.
Yeah.
Go crush it. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much. We'll be back next week, everybody, with Joe Arellano at 11 o'clock on Thursday.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Yeah.